This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Rhys Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Go on a Monday. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. At some point in the next hour, we're expected to have Jack Caglione join us.
Oh, just, pretty good
just
timing.
An absolute rocket yesterday in Surprise, Arizona.
And then the quotes were, hey, he's been trying to take a little off his swing to try not to overswing and strike out. I'm like, that's taking a little off? We can just go back to the classic questions we used to ask, which is just like, what's it feel like? Like, just generally, how good does it feel to be able to hit a 435-foot home run? Is it cool? Seems like it'd be kind of cool, wouldn't it? If you train for the rest of your, for the next 5 years, and we gave you a metal corked bat, could you hit a ball and a pitching machine, right? No elements. You're not going against a live pitcher. Ideal circumstances. You're at Rocky Stadium. With a ball that didn't go through the humidifier, with a corked aluminum bat, could you knock one 435 feet?
No! No, and neither could you. No chance, man. No chance. You can see why everybody's excited.
Steroids, the whole thing.
Yeah, you can see why everybody's excited about Jack Caglione. We're going to talk about him at 10:30, and who knows, he might join us around 10:30 too, but we expect to have him connect with us in the next hour or so, fresh off his first spring training home run. And obviously, that only is going to continue to build the excitement around the Royals' top prospect and what that could mean in the future, or maybe it's still the future, but maybe it's the near future, as in this 2025 season. We know he's going to start the season, I think it's pretty safe to say, in Double A. But could we see him in July? Could we see him in August? Some things have to happen, both for him individually and maybe even with the big league club for that to occur. But definitely should be pumped and fired up to see what Jack Caglione can continue to do throughout spring training. I mean, just his odds already shifted a little bit in the rookie of the year market because of the home run.
Because of one home run?
They already went down a little bit.
Somebody went and betted immediately, I guess.
Because they went down. They saw the home run, and so they've adjusted a little bit in a couple of the books. You can still find like an 80-1, 90-1 out there, but yeah.
You're just saying like some of the numbers have shifted a little
bit. So we'll get to some Royals baseball. You guys can always hit us up on the Jay Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7965. The video stream up and running as well. Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, X, Twitter, whatever, all of it, whatever we're calling. I think I already said that. Social media channels is where you can watch the show. But I want to start with the Missouri front on the stadium. We'll get to sports betting, I promise, at 11 o'clock because that news today is absolutely ridiculous. And you probably saw and heard on Fesco and Dusty, talk to them about it a little bit. But on the stadium front, politicians are expected to meet Wednesday in Jefferson City to discuss options to fund, partially fund projects for the Chiefs and or the Kansas City Royals using public dollars. And we'll play this bit of audio. This is from the Speaker of the Missouri House, John Patterson, who's in Lee Summit, represents Lee Summit. Here's what he said. I believe this was on Friday.
We want to meet with the county executive, and I think there's probably an open invitation. I'm always happy to meet with them here in Jeff City or back home. Next week will be just the legislators, some of the legislators, and we really need to get this going and make sure that everybody knows that we have to get this done. I believe that we would need to have something on the November ballot to get the Jackson County funding, and that would be the base for the foundation for any package that's put together.
You and I had the same reaction when we listened to this audio earlier today. We're like, no,
sure you want to climb this tree again?
Well, we were like, no, wait. November? I don't think they have that kind of time. Like, they've already maybe screwed up timeline-wise if they're looking for another ballot measure. I don't think they can wait till November, based off of what may or may not be happening in the state of Kansas for one or both of the teams.
I don't like the way, I'll just be honest, every word he said there was a buzzwords of how it failed the last time. Let's get on the November ballot, and I'd like to talk to the Jackson County executive. How'd that go the last time? How smooth did that thought process go the last time? I kind of thought the whole stadium thing, we had boiled down to the very simple thing, which was, do not make a decision that isn't just financing it and telling people here's where the money's coming from. Because if you leave it back in the hands of the people, I'm not so sure how it'll go. And look, I think it's an unknown, because separating them, offering a different location, all these things could provide different results. And I thought the Chiefs really hurt the Royals' options by not offering up what I thought was a good plan at all. Now, they didn't help themselves either, right? They hurt themselves by making those decisions late and all these other stuff, et cetera, et cetera. And so, like, those things typically kind of go a certain way. But I can't believe we're still talking November ballots and leaving it up to the people? This feels like a bad way to go about business. You just got to work out the funding, announce that this is where the funding is coming from, and just tell people to kind of deal with it. Like, I know that maybe doesn't sound like the way a voter would want it or an everyday citizen would want it, but I'm not sure opening it back up to a public vote after it failed so miserably the last time is going to help you. I mean, it didn't lose by a little gold. It lost by a
16
lot.
Points, I believe, right? Yeah. 16 points. The public ballot measure, the only way I see it ever getting to that again in Missouri is strictly on a Chiefs plan. As in, we already know what the Royals decide, whatever that may be.
Yeah.
And then let's say the Royals have left Missouri. Let's say that ends up happening. Then you're talking about trying to keep one of the teams at that point. Yeah. If you already lost one, and that's a hypothetical here, then I could see for the Chiefs to basically say, are we keeping one of these professional teams? This is what's required. The Chiefs' timeline is a little bit longer. They, you know, unlike the Royals, have said, hey, we are flat out leaving.
They kind of set their own deadline.
We are leaving when our lease is up. The Chiefs, maybe they're willing to extend it out anyway, no matter what. They have maybe a little bit more of a timeline. We know they can't do anything until a post-World Cup to begin with in terms of renovations at Arrowhead because of the World Cup in 2026. So that would be the only way I could ever see this thing really get into a public ballot measure in the state of Missouri again, is strictly on a Chiefs-only ballot once we know what the Royals do. But we know last week there was some reporting from KCMO Talk and that, you know, that there's maybe some deadlines coming up in the state of Kansas for whether it's land and also the star bonds in Kansas. I don't have the exact... I want to say they potentially expire. I don't know if they can be extended.
They probably
could. There's always, some way to, like, you know, to extend stuff out. But I believe that's this summer for the current terms to be utilized. So we're coming up on it. And it feels like, I don't want to say it's too little too late, but like this is maybe a last ditch. Wednesday is very important, it sounds like.
Yeah. This meeting is going to end up probably determining whether or not it's realistic. Both teams can stay in Missouri. Just the Royals can stay in Missouri. Because you're right, the Chiefs do have a longer timeline, but they've also pretty much stated spring for themselves, too. Like, Wednesday's sure. Probably when we're going to start getting the rumors of it's more or less likely they end up in Kansas or Missouri, in my opinion. Like, right now, it's just speculation. Like, Quentin Lucas, who's the mayor of Kansas City, obviously, was over on KMBZ. He was asked these questions. You can hear his response to it. Because he's trying to warn you it's not a done deal they're going to Kansas. But that's what everyone in Kansas is going to try to say before this meeting on Wednesday.
Well, you know, what I can tell you is that anybody who is speaking on the record with all these guarantees of the team is going to this place or that place is, you know, is wrong. There is no deal that's going to be announced in the next several hours. I think there are good discussions, but important ones. And indeed, I had somebody who reached out to me last week, a constituent who said, if you just, you know, misled us all, come up with a big secret thing, and we'll never be the wiser for it. And that's absolutely not the case. I think no matter what jurisdiction they go to, and I continue to believe that all indications lead to that being both teams remaining in Kansas City, Missouri, but with the Royals down downtown, I think we're going to have extensive chats about what public financing and support looks like. A lot of discussions on what the locations for both teams are, how you make sure that's something that's conducive to the neighborhood nearby. But there's a lot of work with it. And, you know, one thing that I would call for, and there was a bit of public discourse last week, the Missouri Speaker of the House, who lives in Lee's Summit, gave some remarks about Jackson County needing to step up, all those sorts of things. I'm agnostic as to that issue, other than to say that I think the conversations that need to happen are, I think that the right and responsible parties are in the room, and I think that we will always continue to be faithful to the taxpayers.
And like I
so
hear
that was this morning on KMBZ, our sister station, from Mayor
Q. Just like an hour ago over on their morning show. When you listen to that, I know some of you in the audio stream, I keep forgetting that we can't play audio from my computer. So sorry to re-sum up what he had to say for those watching on YouTube, Twitter, or Twitch. He was talking about how they keep getting told that Jackson County needs to step up. This is the single biggest hurdle for either of these teams. Is there any chance Frank White's going to get off of this pedestal and step down? No! No! Frank White has had legitimately like 4 years to get off his high horse and his grudge against the Royals or anybody else. And we talked about all the other issues that might exist in or around Jackson County with property taxes and all the other stuff he's caught heat for over the years. He's not budging on this one. There's no amount of budge in Frank White. The last time we heard what he was asking for was the moon. Well, we'd like 100% of parking and 100% of the revenue, and we pay $0, and you just give us stuff. That was the last he asked for. I know it wasn't quite that, but it was essentially that. It was a completely one-sided offer. And so, like, that's the problem. Jackson County is never going to give up the money as long as Frank, not for the Royals. Not for the Royals, because he has a grudge against the team. I don't think there's any way to look at it differently.
Right. Well, so it's definitely, this is why the reporting has been that they would bypass Jackson County legislature on the Royals front. That's the only way that I could see them staying downtown, as it became more of a state and city thing more than Jackson County. Although we just played the comments from the Speaker of the Missouri House about Jackson County needing to step up. I don't know if there's a path for it to happen without Jackson County legislature ultimately, or the county executive ultimately playing a huge role in that. We'll see. I think we have to step away for a second and also understand that whether it's on the record reporting or otherwise conversations, that there is still politics heavily at play on both sides of the state line. Right.
Oh, yeah.
And so, you know, what is being used intentionally put out there by individuals to try to create leverage. I always try to keep that in perspective, no matter what we hear, because I think that's a real thing that happens, especially with an issue like this. So when we hear a certain site or we hear anything like that, like, I always try to step back, like, okay, what could be the benefit of quote unquote leaking this out for another party? And so I think that's important to remember in all of these conversations. I've told you, I think you've been consistent on this. Ultimately, number one goal, and I'm not worried about this happening, number one goal is keeping the Royals and Chiefs in Kansas City.
Yes, somewhere
plain,
in the city.
Plain and simple. After that, you know, my entire life, I've driven to Missouri to watch the Royals and Chiefs. It really doesn't bug me that much. If you told me one of the teams was in Kansas, I would say great. Specifically, you know my feelings on the new stadium versus renovation of Arrowhead. I would prefer a new stadium. I don't personally think it makes sense to renovate Arrowhead. And that's not me saying that Arrowhead stinks or anything. No. I've told the story over and over and over. My first sporting events I ever went to were at Arrowhead. A lot of great memories. Family had tickets, season tickets as a kid at Arrowhead.
But you want the new one.
But I don't think it makes sense to put that kind of money into an old building, public money, when you know you're going to come back probably in 15 or 20 years, maybe for a new building anyway. So it doesn't make sense to me. I would prefer a new stadium. And to me, the only path for a new stadium for the Chiefs is Kansas. As far as Royals wise, I was taught, you know, Bob obviously has had a lot of reporting on the Royals and the Kansas side.
Sure.
and what he's heard. The 435 and Null site keeps coming up. I personally, even though it's very close to where I live, I'm not like all that sold on that site. Not a huge fan personally, but that doesn't mean, am I going to not go to games because they end up at 435 and Null versus downtown? No, I have a preference, just like everybody listening has a preference in this whole thing. All I'll say though, in terms of the stuff out in the last 48 hours, 72 hours, I guess it's been at this point, is I think the timeline, and we're right up against it now. Like, I know we've been saying that in
which
the past.
Which is every time. They have been deadline desperate action.
I don't think we're going to St. Joe in August for training camp, not knowing where the Royals are going and not knowing where the Chiefs are leaning. I just don't.
I don't think so, but it's like one of those like 95%, yeah, I agree with you, and there's still 5% of me that I thought we'd know, like, not kidding, 18 months ago where these two teams are going. Maybe 2 years ago. Do you remember when these conversations started? It's been so
long. Yeah, people are sick of it. I think a lot of people are sick of it.
That's the other problem they're working against is fatigue.
But we're going to talk about it at 11 o'clock, you know, the sports betting stuff and delay in Missouri and all that. That is a very small percentage of this entire conversation, but it proves the other point. Well, do you have faith if you're Clark Hunt and John Sherman that Missouri can get their you-know-what together to give you what you believe you need? I'm not saying for them to get a blank check from the state of Missouri. Not at all. Of course not. However, you got to believe that they can accomplish what you need them to accomplish in a certain time frame. And what have you seen? Oh, and there's plenty of examples that can happen. And that's where I would be very, very skeptical if I was John Sherman and Clark Hunt. Can the city and can the state of Missouri actually get stuff done? And that's a big question I would have.
They've had struggles with it lately. Both these teams, I think no matter what, like, I'll say this, like, I would be hesitant to blame. Nah, I think they're always asking for things that you don't think, like going back to the public financing of stadiums for billionaires and all the other stuff. If you want to be annoyed about that, fine.
Sure.
But if you're like, I can't believe the Royals went to Kansas, or I can't believe the Chiefs went to Kansas, be like, I don't know, man. They gave Missouri a pretty fair shake. They tried. Okay. It was definitely not from a lack of effort. They spent the better part of 2 years trying to give Missouri a chance to retain the team. So like, if they end up on the Kansas side, this is not just the teams packed up their bags and left like the A's owner to Las Vegas where he was making that kind of effort. I don't think it's like that at all. We'll remind you later in the show. We're going to do something a couple of Fridays from now out at Kelly's as part of something you guys did as the listeners. We'll remind you in like the 11 o'clock hour. We're going to try to catch as many people listening as possible, if we're being honest. Appreciate you listening at 10. More people listen at 11 or noon or 1. So we're going to let you know more about that later. You mentioned blank check. And I was trying to decide, because I know sometime in the next between now and 3 years, in my opinion, the Chiefs will have to have the cap reset year where they just don't bring in the normal amount of talent, don't retain the normal amount, spend way less money in free agency. And so what I was trying to decide is, should this be the year? And my answer is yes, but it's contingent. If they could just fully reset the cap this year, I think I'd say do it. I'd say eat Patrick Mahomes' full cap number, eat Joe Tooney's cap number, don't move any money around, suffer the consequences of overpaying people this year, not pushing contracts into next year. But I truly believe that the only way that this can be the cap reset year is if Travis Kelce retires. Because if he comes back, well then, probably just wait a year to do the full cap reset and don't worry about it being this season, this year. But if he retires, I say eat the money. Start over. Build yourself anew cap-wise, because as it sits right now, it's going to have to happen sometime in the next 3 years, I think. Maybe the increase in the cap delays that a little bit.
It's gone up over $52, $53 million in the last 2 years. And with all these international games, new TV contracts, there's reports that Netflix wants to start buying the Sunday afternoon packages in the future. The cap is only going to keep going up, which, as we said last week, that goes up for everybody. You know, as much as we can say, oh, it's great news for Kansas City. No, that goes up for everybody as well. I understand what you're saying. I think the only thing I would consider this year is right now, Patrick Mahomes' cap hit. It went up from $37 million to $66.2 million. Now, they can convert it as they've done before, but is this the year where you don't do that? Do you say, we're going to just do that? That way we have some flexibility to do
that. Hold on, about 10 days, probably.
Right. You know, that would be the only one. I think you and I both are leaning towards Kelce coming back. And the only thing I will say about that is I don't believe that'll be at a $19 million cap hit. I don't know if it's him doing something with his contract, but it will not.
Brian Mahomes doing something with his, too.
I don't believe it'll be a $19 million cap hit. But kind of what you're saying, if Kelce comes back, I don't believe Kelce comes back unless he thinks they're going for a championship still. Because why would you, right? So when you have Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce and Andy Reid, you're never, we can talk about resets, retooling, whatever phrase, word you want to use. With Mahomes, you're never having a lost year. You're just not. That's not how they're going to operate, nor should they.
If you reset the cap, you're still going to be 11, 12 wins probably.
Right. And if I'm Kelce, I'm not coming back unless I believe truly I can win a championship, because what's the point? Yes, it was devastating to lose the manner you did in the Super Bowl down in New Orleans, but there's also the possibility that I lose in the second round of the postseason. And I understand Mahomes has not lost earlier than the AFC title game, but you get what I'm saying. Like, there's a chance it's worse. Like, getting devastated in the Super Bowl is one thing. Losing in the divisional round would be way worse.
Which is not something we've ever seen in the Mahomes era. And yeah, I mean, it would feel weird, I'll admit. But I would feel less bad about a gold if I knew it was also in service of the cap for the next 10 years, right? So, like, this is the year. We pay the full freight. We pay $60 million on Mahomes. We pay the full freight on Tooney. We pay, you know, we don't move Jawan Taylor's money around. We don't really sign that much in the free agency. We don't go sign our left tackle there. We go get him in the draft, yeah. Whatever.
They're kind of just stuck with the Jawan Taylor amount. I mean, that Jawan Taylor is...
But they can move it again.
$27 million dollar cap it for Jawan Taylor. That became... That cemented itself last March.
Yep.
There's no trading that.
A year ago.
They just have to deal with that. And then my guess is Jawan Taylor's not on this football team a year from now.
But if they lost in the divisional round, but it was an in-service of the long-term next run of Chiefs, I'm okay. Because, like, I understand outrunning the cap is a really difficult thing to do. I've been told, and you've been told too, by people who handle, like, the cap experts, everybody can outrun it forever just as long as it's going up at the percentage it's currently going up. But one down year and bad news.
I'll say, though, in the last 20 years, the only time it went down and it didn't go up at the same rate was in the middle of a freaking pandemic. So that... I think the possibility of it not going up is not zero, but it's like 1%, whatever you want to put on the odds on
another global pandemic.
I don't want to say that, but yeah.
Do you want to
relax?
Go ahead and handicap it, Gold.
Yeah.
Go and handicap the next pandemic.
Let's not do that.
As like measles, is that the one that's currently going through Kansas?
I don't want to go too deep into it, but there's some stuff out there already.
What's the one?
We don't need to talk about it anymore because we don't need to introduce it, and there's nothing else.
You don't want to welcome that into the world?
Nope, we're not.
Drew, you were back at home. What were you doing during the pandemic? Alex and I were doing shows from my basement. What was your life like?
I was in Indianapolis golfing a lot.
Oh.
Were they doing good deals on golf then? Was that when they were doing all the silly things that
golf was very popular during COVID?
Where like they just had like the cups pulled out and you would just hit it against the cup instead of like pull your ball out.
They cut out a styrofoam thing that they would wrap around the flagstick and
Some of this stuff in retrospect seems like that was where we were drawing the line. Yeah. That was the one. Yep. Maybe there's a few, but that was the one.
I was working at a golf course.
Oh, you were working at a golf course. That makes sense. That's why you're playing so much golf.
Oh yeah.
Yep.
He probably got pretty good.
Yeah. Reminder, we're expected to have Jack Caglione from the Royals, who had a home run yesterday and in spring training. We're expected to have him call in the next maybe 30 to 45 minutes or so. We'll keep an eye on that. We'll also just talk about where his future is in this organization coming up in 10 minutes or so. Yesterday, though, it was a beautiful day in Kansas City. Today's going to be even nicer, right? It's just thank goodness we're done with being in the Arctic Circle finally. So I was outside a little bit, but one of my nephews had a basketball tournament. It was a championship game of his league or whatever they're in. So he's all excited. So I drove out there. It was at home field. Have you been to home field? That's out by the Legends. Ironically enough, we were talking about sites and everything. Not far from potentially where the Chiefs' new stadium could be if they move to KCK. And home field, I had not been there before. This place is absolutely incredible. If you're listening, you're a parent, your kid maybe had a volleyball tournament or basketball tournament there or something. There's Blue Hawk in South KC as well in South Johnson County that's got the ice rink and everything. Just some of these youth sport facilities now are unreal.
They're nuts.
This one at home field, Cody, the lower level smartly is basically athletes only, kids only. Like you're not, unless you're a coach, you're not allowed to be
parents
are not allowed to be right around the court. Then there's a second level that's for spectators, parents.
Okay.
And these seats, they're like seat backs. You don't have to bring a seat back. It's as if you're at a, like, I'll be honest, like it'd be like nicer than if you were at Sweeney Rec, Cody.
They got some seat backs there.
It's got seat backs up there. It has a full bar up there for the parents. If your kid's game gets delayed, I guess, I don't know, man. I don't know what's going on up there. There's a full bar. You can get food. It's unbelievable.
But I guess I saw the photo you posted. It obviously looks nuts.
9 different courts. It has a scoreboard for each court.
Okay, but here's my only question. I mean, I think I'd probably live my life, go watch my kid playing a soccer field where I got to bring a fold-up chair if it cost half as much. What's it run to be in a league there where I got seat backs and scoreboards?
They don't play all their games there. This was the championship game. That's why I was there. They do a lot of tournaments and everything like that. But the development, I mean, it's still has 10 basketball courts, 12 volleyball courts, food vendors, parents' lounge.
This is up by the Legends, correct?
Yeah, it's right by you,
I think
Drew.
They got some baseball fields out there, too.
They're building more. So, like, the home field sports complex, I think it was $60 million. The entire development's $800 million or something like that. And it's eventually when it's still not done yet. Like, they're going to have golf course as well. There would be, like, a museum out there. Like, it's this huge, huge complex. But I was just in the basketball court and volleyball court area. This thing is insane. And then I'm just thinking about how much better the youth sport facilities are in this town now. Because Blue Hawk, as I referenced, Garmin's got some new thing they're building out south, too. It's insane.
The Shield Soccer Complex. That's
been around for a little bit now. Yeah.
It's a nice place.
It is kind of crazy to see. Like, the only thing that I'm, like, 100% convinced on is the further the parents are away from the players, the better.
Oh, I agree with that.
Like, yeah.
The bar is a good excuse to get you away from the game, maybe.
I'm sorry. But but you got to keep them away, because otherwise, if you do a bar and I'm essentially sitting courtside, problem. Throw back a couple of Miller Lights, and all of a sudden I start thinking I'm a hero with the ref, right?
Okay, oh, hang on.
Like, you got to keep some separation.
Served? Is alcohol served?
Yeah, the parents' lounge.
Oh, okay, so it's an actual bar.
It's a parents' lounge, and you can go. Like, if I wanted to, this was at noon yesterday or so, my nephew's game. Like, I can go an hour without having an alcoholic beverage. You know, I wasn't like, oh my gosh, the only way I can watch my 9-year-old nephew's game was with a beer. But if I wanted to.
9-year-old basketball, maybe. I mean, it's not the cleanest.
You have to keep, my understanding is, like, you have to drink it in that area. Like, my understanding.
You can't be whipping beers down the stands.
Yeah. Now, look, the facility is just thinking about, like, I don't know about you, when I played youth basketball, it was like in a church gym. Yeah. You know what I mean? That's basically
sometimes
what it was.
Two courts, or whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was never like anything, but that's, I don't know. In youth soccer, like, my kids still play at a field where, like, you know, we just sit.
It's not level, and it's like,
It's just a field, dude. Yeah. It's just like, I gotta check my kids for ticks after. I actually don't, in a lot of ways, that makes it feel more like every youth sport. The biggest issue I have with it is every youth sport now treats them like they're a semi-professional. Everyone's got to practice 5 nights a week for 3 hours at a time and play at some state-of-the-art facility. That's a little nuts for, like, 9. When I was 9, I just, like, played sports, and, like, I played a bunch of different sports, and you did it once or twice a week, maybe, right? And then as you got older, maybe the intensity level kicked up. As you got into your teens, 14, 15, 16, it felt that way. But we treat 7-year-olds like they're training for, like,
it's
the
more competitive
pros.
Than
it's
ever.
Nuts.
It's more competitive than ever.
There was a spot that that we would play at back in Indy that was kind of like this, but it was not. It was still like bleachers on the
this
side.
Place was
it
insane.
Was not what the picture that you posted.
Yeah, that was nuts.
It was nothing.
I
like
couldn't
that.
Believe it when I walked in. Like, I was like, man. Anytime he's got a game there, I'll go.
The
you know
bright
what I mean?
Lights. It was brand new. Yeah.
So, I mean, I think it's only 8 months old, maybe something like that. Now they have another facility in Olathe. It's funny. So Homefield has a facility in Olathe. Nothing like that. Like, that one's just your typical.
Just like a regular?
Yeah. This one's way different. There's a home field in Olathe or whatever. That is not the same. But yeah, the facility is incredible. Anyway, up next, let's talk some baseball. Spring training, beautiful weather out in Arizona, and a beautiful rocket from Jack Caglione yesterday for a home run. We're going to talk about his performance and expected to have him join us coming up next here on Cody Ingold. That was the sound of a baseball off the bat of Jack Caglione yesterday.
Loud.
Yeah. What, 435 feet, 115 miles an hour off the bat of the Royals' top prospect.
I hope he's driving on 435 come July.
That's right. We did get an update, though, during the break, by the way.
But you get the point.
Yeah, no, I hear you. We did get an update during the break. Jack Caglione going to actually join us after their workout and everything, so it's going to be closer to 12:45, so apologies on that. Things a little fluid out in Arizona when it comes to spring training. So we'll talk about Jack Caglione here a little bit, but he will not join us until maybe the noon hour today here on your home for the Royals, 96.5 The Fan. But there's nothing that you can do to continue to build your hype like hitting a home run like that yesterday. You know what I mean? Like, the hype was already there, even if you went 0-for. But when you hit a home run like that, it's not going to temper the expectation and the hype. And look, every Royals fan should be excited about this kid. The only thing is, what would it take for him to get to the bigs this year? Like, I don't think there's any scenario where he's coming out of camp on the opening day roster. We're going to find out.
He did 17 more home runs over the next 17 days.
We're going to probably find out in, I don't know, let's see, today is the 24th. 2.5, 3.5 weeks from now, he will be sent down from big league camp, right? Like, that's, you know, we saw this happen with Bobby Wood Jr. There will be a time in which basically he'll be sent down to minor league camp, essentially. Like, that's usually what happens.
Which means he can still play some of these split squad games, but he's going to start the year at Double-A.
And people will be bummed about that when that day happens, but that is going to happen. The question is, in 2025, can we see him? I think that is a real possibility. It's just probably second half of the season. It could be July or August. And that is if he, first and foremost, is actually hitting in double A. I mean, that he also has to perform there. And maybe he goes to triple A. I think the difference for him, unlike Bobby, I actually believe he will need to play in triple A. And you're like, why? Well, I think the best way for him to get on the roster is if they need outfield help, which some would already say they need right now. But do they need outfield help? What is Renfro doing? What's Melendez doing? What are the injury situations?
How's the Jonathan India, Michael Massey outfield?
Yeah, because outside of outfield, he's a DH or first baseman. Well, if Vinny's healthy, then that spot's occupied. So if he wants to get up sooner, he needs to help them in the outfield, and he's barely had any reps there. So I think he actually does need to play in AAA in order for him to get up on the big league club this year.
So there's two really big questions that remain with Jack. If you're asking, hey, can we get Caglione up right now? If you're curious how they're planning on filling out their offense moving forward, well, he's obviously a part of it. His arm is big enough. He's athletic enough. Right fielders of his size play that position, like Aaron Judge or all these other guys who they send out there. Just as long as you can move okay, and he can, you'll be okay. But the two questions are, one, can he play right field, to your point? And he has a lot of swing and miss in his game. And you can have a lot of swing and miss in your game in Major League Baseball and still get called up. Hell, Joey Gallo's had like an 8-year big league career, and he's the ultimate swing and miss guy who puts the ball to the moon when he hits
it. He'll hit 40-plus home runs, or he's done it a couple times throughout his career. Yeah, I don't know what he did last year. But
if he's going to hit 40-plus home runs, he'll be a big leaguer, even if he has a lot of swing and miss. But that was the big change for him this offseason, which is why I think they want him to spend a decent amount of time in the minor leagues. Yesterday, after the game, he was talking about it. He had mentioned, like I was joking about, that he had taken a little off. He's trying not to overswing in an effort to put the ball in play more, because he knows when he makes contact, the ball's going to do what it did yesterday. It's going to travel 7,000 feet and make a very loud sound, and everyone's going to be in awe for just a minute. But if you talk to people in the Royals organization, if you talked to J.J. Piccolo, who I'm sure we'll have on again in a couple of weeks, they don't want to rush Jack to the bigs. They don't want to like get ahead of themselves, put the cart before the horse. Like, they don't want to. I don't think they want to be in a situation where May 1st he's playing innings for them. I think if he gets to the big leagues this year, you should be thinking late July, early August, or more realistically probably that like two guys get called up in August and September. And as you pointed out, if he's performing, I want to get him up too. It seems like an immediate solution to their needs. I like the idea of this is a playoff team. We want a bench bat that can plug a home run if we need them to hit a home run when we're down 3 runs in the 8th inning. Great. Like, who doesn't want that kind of power coming off? I view it more that way than probably everyday player this year.
Yeah, that's a 2026 thing. Next year at spring training, we're talking about him having one of those spots and coming out of camp with them on the opening day roster.
Yeah, him not, being not starting right field.
Not in 2025. So I'm not saying not to be excited about the kid, and I'm excited to have a chance to talk to him. I know we both are in the noon hour or so today. But in terms of like this year, his impact, let's pump the brakes a little bit. Let's just slowly tap the brake, please.
It's hard when you watch the home run like yesterday.
Oh, sure. Right? And I hope he hits another one in the next. He doesn't play today, I don't think. But, you know, the next time he's in a lineup, tomorrow or whenever their next game with him in the lineup. They will have a game this afternoon, by the way. 2:05 first pitch again. Cole Reagans is going to make his spring training 2025 debut.
Right here. You'll
hear the game right here on your home for the Royals, 96.5 The Fan. But he's not doing anything to not continue the hype train. That's for sure.
I was going to say, if you're curious kind of where things were, like, okay, where was he statistically? Again, he's never going to have, statistically, he's not going to be that high of a batting average guy. That's never really what he's been. In his last year of Florida, though, he hit .419 with a .554 on base percentage, which is a ludicrous number, and obviously that's why he got drafted where he drafted. In A-ball last year, .241, .302 on base percentage. Not great. Just 2 home runs before, because he played a very limited amount of time, as you remember, coming off of Florida. And then the Arizona Fall League, he had more home runs, 5 of them in just 21 games, but still, like around .300 on base percentage. What they're going to want to see from him, and this is why you and I are saying, barring an injury, barring Salvi getting hurt, a guy who gives up some DH innings via Vinny, the more likely, as in like easier to see the transition spot, that would be the case. But I still think, because India and Massey, I still think they have like one extra big league player that they're like rotating through right now anyway, where they have like one too many position players as it sits, and like everyone's innings are going to be kind of morphed as a result of this. Unless there's an injury, Caglione's not getting called up till late summer. And there probably will be an injury at some point, but then it's also going to be at his spot. not left field, not second, not, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's still going to be the one or two players that could possibly move the needle. Or Hunter Renfro, the only other option I see, and you and I talked about this, is Hunter Renfro is one of, like, the five worst right fielders in all of baseball, and they decide to eat the money.
It would have to be the Hunter Dozier thing all over again.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it would have to
just be... just guys named Hunter. What's the deal?
I don't know. They both have the sandwiches over at Zarda, too, now. Hunter Dozier had one, and then Hunter Renfro's got that. Was it the Royale with cheese? Is that right? Is that what his is called over at Zarda?
And look, Hunter Renfro was not good last year. He was injured for a portion of the year. And remember, it ended up like he didn't have a broken toe, but then still missed some games. So he played 120 games. But before you think he was garbage, he had a .297 on base percentage, which is what I just told you.
He had a couple nice stretches. I heard Vern mention Hunter Renfro. Now, this is the cliche, like, best shape of your life. I actually think Hunter Renfro might be in the best shape of his life. Vern said he's down 20 pounds. Hunter Renfro, that is. I can't speak for Vern, but Hunter Renfro is down 20 pounds.
Vern said the last time we asked him, he said he was in the worst shape of his life.
So I like hearing that for Renfro. Maybe that helps. Maybe that helps with his performance this year. We shall see. Coming up in about 20 minutes, we will get into the local college hoops, right? K-State, I think now it's very clear what their path looks like to an NCAA tournament bid. KU got a much-needed just stomping of an opponent, and then Missouri Tigers unfortunately stopped their little bit of a run against Arkansas, but they are still very well positioned. We'll take a look at the latest bracketology, and we'll get to an update on sports wagering in Missouri if you missed it. Earlier today, tweeted it out, Missouri sports wagering delayed. Doesn't mean it's not going to happen in 2025, but it will likely now not happen until after the start of the NFL season, which
we'll tell you why next.
We'll tell you why. And unfortunately, a familiar name involved in that. But the NFL offseason is underway, even though the league year hasn't started. And there's speculation about where these quarterbacks are going to go. And the most fascinating thing is what's up with Matthew Stafford. There was a couple updates over the weekend. So the Rams veteran quarterback, who's 37 years old. Pete Schrager reporting that he wants $50 million a year. All right. That's the first part of it. And then the Rams have given Stafford's agent permission to talk to other teams. Now, there's usually two things that happen with this, right, Cody? It's, hey, we're letting you talk to find out that, hey, that market's not there for you. We want you to reel. You go talk. You tell us what they're offering you. I bet you the market's not as good. And then there's the, oh, no, they're ready to move on. It's one of the two. I think the fact that you're willing to let Stafford talk tells me that the Rams absolutely would be willing to part ways. You get into the compensation stuff. The Giants seem like an interesting fit, but are you giving up your third overall pick or whatever it is? I don't think so, even though Brian Daboll might be willing to because of his job security. So that's what's tricky. Like, where does Stafford end up? Does he stay with Sean McVay? Because the piggyback reporting off of the Stafford getting traded is, oh, well, Sean McVay would just bring in Aaron Rodgers. And while Sean McVay maybe has the command of that organization where a player's not going to come in and take over the way Rodgers did with the Jets.
Unlikely, because McVay has control, yeah.
You're going to, at that point, if I'm going to trade Stafford, why don't I just totally reshuffle the deck? Why would I go with another veteran that's going to be there for 1 year?
Because he's not trying to ever do, in my opinion, McVay would not want to really do the rebuild year. At that point, it goes back to the same thing. I'll go be on Fox. I'm not going to just do some down year where I've got Aiden O'Connell is my starter, you know, Russell Wilson.
And
I'm just trying to, like, go through the motions. Like, he doesn't seem like that's ever been his energy base. That goes back to the whole thing where he went to a Super Bowl with a quarterback and still willing to part with that quarterback in order to improve and do that case. If this were any other relationship, and I know sports we talk about a little bit different, but, like, I mean, read the lines. If this were any other relationship and, Gold, you were dating a girl and you said, I'm going to allow her to talk to other men now and see if she thinks it's better on the other side, well, then you're not interested anymore, man. You're not interested in pursuing this relationship anymore. Their whole problem is they know that just cutting them is a financial kneecap to the organization. They want another team to want Matt Stafford as their quarterback and to reset their organization. And look, if I were the Giants or the Jets or one of these organizations that desperately needs a reset, I'd probably consider it. But the problem is, if I'm the Jets, what am I doing? Getting some other super old quarterback to go through
there? I don't think the Jets can, not saying they have a long-term answer, but to me, the Jets cannot go and get a Stafford type. The Jets cannot bring in a Russell Wilson. Like, I think it'd be massive mistakes, like, going that path again. The Giants, on surface, the draft capital seems way too crazy to give up a third overall pick. I'm sorry.
That's way too
high. But if you're Brian Daboll and you're the general manager, you know your ass is on the line. Like, basically,
and you don't like the quarterbacks in this draft anyway.
If you don't make the playoffs, Brian Daboll is getting fired. Now, that's not a responsible decision to make long term. But remember, the two people in charge there aren't going to be there 5 years from now, most likely. And so they're trying to win right away. So Matthew Stafford would give them that big swing at quarterback from what they've had, which is Daniel Jones. So I just think the Stafford stuff is fascinating. And right now, if I were to ask you guys, do you think Matthew Stafford is a member of the Rams week one of the season?
No. Way too much smoke. And this organization, the Rams organization, has already proven they're willing to move on from a quarterback. They think that almost any quarterback will work with Sean McVay. And to a point, I think it's like the Kyle Shanahan thing, where I think that there's a floor. And that floor is higher than most teams, even if I don't know the quarterback. Like, you can put any quarterback who was a starter last year under Kyle Shanahan or under Sean McVay, and I think there's a floor. It's kind of like Tomlin, right? I think there's a floor of what the team is. 8, 9, 10 wins, whatever. That's probably the basement of almost any qualified starting quarterback they can put in the spot. And if for some reason they, like, find their guy later in the draft, which would be lucky, or they just move on to some other guy that they're convinced is the guy who's, like, floating around and available, or they pick up, you know, we haven't talked, like, maybe they go Matt Ryan because he's on the street and he's going to be way cheaper than Matthew Stafford. I think they're more willing than other teams to just, like, float around, kick things around, and kind of see what comes up.
We always go through the carousel and try to figure out how many jobs are out there for the quarterbacks that you're alluding to. And, you know, some of the vets, like, is there a spot for both Stafford? Yes, he'll end up somewhere. But Stafford, Kirk Cousins, Aaron Rodgers,
there's
Russell
a musical
Wilson,
chairs, but like, there's one too many.
You
yeah,
know,
I
like,
agree. Or one too few.
Yeah, it's like Kirk Cousins to me seems like Tennessee or something like that for a year. Otherwise, a backup. Who's going to be the guy in Cleveland? Right, we know Deshaun's not playing this year. What's Jameis going to do? Is he, you know, there's
I'd probably just start DTR and find out. I don't know.
The best spot for Aaron Rodgers is Pittsburgh. I don't think if I'm the Steelers, I'm interested, but that's the best spot for Rodgers. You jump into a team that was just in the playoffs, you're good to go.
Yeah.
If I'm the Jets, I don't like this as a long-term option, but if I'm the Jets for 1 year, I just bring in Justin Fields and I just roll with that for a year.
Yeah, take the loss.
But not a veteran. Bring in Justin Fields and maybe, I don't think he's any good, but like maybe go that path versus if they go and bring in Russell Wilson, ugh.
I know that no team will ever say this. No coach can operate this way. But as a general manager and his owner, you should. The Jets, I think we overstate how often a team should do this, but the Jets are actually in this position. I think it's about one team a year in the NFL who is actually in the position that they should do this. The Jets need to just take the loss this year. There's no coming back from their cap situation, the trades they made, where Aaron Rodgers put them. They have to just take
brand
the
new regime.
They have to just take the loss this year. Start the worst quarterback that people won't actively revolt against. Like, well, okay.
It's New York, though. Keep that in mind.
I know.
It's also the New York media market.
But take the worst quarterback that won't actually cause, like, a revolution to exist at your doorstep and start them, be a two-win team, and hope that next year's quarterback draft class is significantly better than this one.
They should draft Jackson
and that
Dart
you
this
finally
year, so they
get
do.
It right.
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple teams that they're in this no-man. Like, the Raiders, to me personally, they should actually draft Jackson Dart and then bring in a one-year vet.
Yeah.
They should draft Dart and then bring in Rodgers or Russell Wilson for 1 year and go that path. I guess that you could apply that to the Jets too, in fairness. I just don't think, given the history with the Jets of what just they went through with Rodgers, I just don't imagine you going heavy old veteran here. Sam Darnold is going to play a huge role in all this. Sam Darnold's not going back to the Jets.
And he's also getting a multi-year
deal. He's also not going back to the Jets. Why would you go back there? The franchise and the market that just destroyed you. No, thank you.
Just to end your career one more time? We thought they did it the first time. Let's get the actual death nail for my career, you know?
Yeah, I mean, the text line alluding to something. I mentioned this over the weekend on the betting show that I do for BetMGM Network here at Odyssey. Like, my fun blockbuster trade of the entire offseason is Brock Purdy. The Niners say, we're not going to pay you. Brock Purdy gets traded to the Jets, and then the Niners either trade or sign Sam Darnold, and the Niners save $25 million a year, go with Darnold instead. The Jets get their franchise quarterback in their mind, even though I'm skeptical about Purdy, and that's the trade of the offseason.
It is really funny because they had Darnold in their organization as the backup before he got hurt. So Kyle Shanahan obviously saw something in him. And obviously I credit Kyle Shanahan for some of the development he must have had under him before becoming a starter for a different team.
I just, this is the fun part about the NFL, trying to figure out the landing spots. Like, Kirk Cousins to the Rams makes more sense than Rodgers to the Rams. Kirk Cousins has ties with, you know, Kevin O'Connell was his head coach, who obviously has ties to Sean McVay. Yeah. There's some link there and familiarity between the two. So I don't know, man.
I have over on Twitch and Twitter and YouTube, we live stream a show. I've been asked a couple of questions on the text line and over there for two updates from the weekend. So I'm about to give you two updates on what's been going on in the Tapp family household. One, people are asking how it went for Desmond to give the Valentines out on Friday. Obviously, I was unable to find out how things went. He had told me that she liked the Valentine, that it went over well across the board.
Uh-huh.
He also is now claiming that they are boyfriend and girlfriend. I asked him how he came to this conclusion, and he was using logic. He said that they were playing with balloons in the class, and that he was goofing around, and that her balloon knocked into her balloon. To which she said, don't mess with your girlfriend. And then he's like, so I guess we're boyfriend. He said, I didn't know. He said, I didn't know.
Coming from her. Wow. Coming, yeah,
but nice. He said, that's what she said. So now he assumes that they are boyfriend and girlfriend. So that's the most recent update for his love life. We'll see how it progresses. Again, elementary school today could be a whole new day.
That's right.
Things go south in a hurry. We don't know. The second thing was, as you well know, I'd received a text during the show on Friday that said a car was ready. And I was like, yes. Finally, gotta be back in the Tiguan. What a day. Bad news, everybody. I had my car for 18 minutes.
You stopped at the highway again?
No.
Oh,
it's thankfully not smashed. I left straight from here. I went to the place to go pick up my car. They're like, here you go, sir. It looks shiny. Cleaned it up. Everything's looking good. Car looks brand new. No problems. I'm like, oh, what a treat. They fixed that little door dent.
Did they?
Yeah. Okay. I thought, okay.
Nice. Very nice.
I thought, okay. Looking good. I drive it home. Kids are going to get off the bus soon. So I pull into the garage. Every parking sensor starts saying, like, I don't know what anything's going on here. So it's like, we don't know where crap. No, we don't know where anything's coming from. Like, five sensors go off. That's what was happening on the final day. They were calibrating the sensors from an outside company who apparently does these, like, sensor calibrations on new car. Can't recognize a thing. I call them up. They tell me to bring it back. I'm right back in the rental car. They have my car again today. I had my car for the nine-minute drive to the shop.
They didn't test this?
I got it. They said they did. And then it came up totally fine. They said they said the calibration place said it was fine. They personally took it for a test drive. No problems. I brought it into my garage, drove fine the whole way home, into my garage, every sensor went haywire. I brought it back to them. They said at first it was showing nothing wrong, but then when they pulled it into their garage, all the sensors went off too. So presumably they're now working on it today.
Did you get the Mustang back?
They hadn't dropped it off at the rental car place yet. This place is like, you can drop off your rental car today there and they'll take it the rest of the way.
Yeah, take the top down.
Take the top down? Because it's 65.
Take the top off, yeah.
Oh, I had it for 18 minutes. It's like a 9-minute drive. I got in my driveway and then immediately turned back around to return it.
I thought at first you were going to say that somebody rear-ended you again or something like that. That would have been something.
That would have been.
Sounds like this calibration thing would get fixed today or something.
Hope so. I've not received the text yet to come pick up my car. So
from the 9-1-8, it's only 10:50.
You know, we'll see.
From the
9-1-8, I can't pick up till 2.
Cody's son has more game and dating life than old.
Oh, okay. All right. Thanks for the text, people. Thank you.
You might have to get ready to play him some Drake, Cody. If he happens to get heartbroken, you might have to fire up this new album that he just came out with.
You know, I'm hoping for his sake that, you know,
I think everybody's rooting on Desmond. Everybody's rooting him on.
I think so too. But like at this point, it's like I'm still trying to like temper his expectations because he does spend part of his weekend saying like, I can't wait to see her.
Oh man!
So like, I mean, he's just like
he's down bad.
Yeah, he's like he's in a tough spot because it's kindergarten and life moves fast, and he's like, he's invested.
You're gonna have to be there for the eventual fall, man. You have to be there for the eventual fall,
right? For whatever reason,
a kindergarten—that's tough.
For whatever reason, I don't know if they're going to the same elementary school or not, but let's say they aren't. That's gonna be
the kindergarten's the same as the elementary school.
Okay, perfect.
So they're good.
Perfect. I was gonna say there might be some.
They might not be in the same class though. You know, first grade class. We don't know.
Then it's over.
Then it's over if you're not in the same class anymore. Mm-hmm. Do you guys remember having a crush this bad in elementary school?
I mean, this bad, I don't know. I mean, everybody had bad. One, but like this bad where like specifically the...
I was not telling girls that I loved them, Desmond, at
kindergarten.
In kindergarten.
No,
I
but
think.
Like fourth or fifth grade, I think like
sure.
Massive crush game.
Yeah,
right,
yeah, where like just second, like, third grade, sure.
Kindergarten though is still where you almost like you thought like, you know, you were still looking and you're like, I'm not going anywhere near them kind of thing versus when, yeah, fifth grade, that's a whole different...
I'm sure you go play with my Legos or different. Something like that. You know, I'm ready to go outside mm-hmm. and play basketball or football with my friends mm-hmm. in kindergarten. I think somebody has.
You're going to have a play date eventually here soon.
Yeah.
I haven't met the parents, you know? It's not serious enough for that yet, I guess. I don't even, you know, this is. I don't meet the parents unless we're at a school-sanctioned event.
True.
In which
when's
this
the next
kid
one?
Is also
do you have
there.
One coming up?
There's one in, I think there's one in March. I think there's
okay.
like
well,
a,
hopefully it's still good
you know,
by
like
then.
A family night or whatever.
Perfect.
Family game night or whatever.
There you go.
But maybe they're not the kind of parents who go to that thing. Who knows? In kindergarten, most parents go to all that stuff, in fairness.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right, up next, we'll get to the 11 o'clock hour. A little update on what is happening in the state of Missouri on the sports betting front. You're going to have to wait a little longer to wager. We'll tell you why next.